Pretty amazing. The Oklahoma softball team claiming their fourth straight Division I title last night. They beat rival Texas 8-4 to take the National Championship Series 2-0. Texas was up 3-2, but the Sooners scored three in the bottom of the fourth, take a 5-3 advantage. Texas got back to win 5-4 at the tying run at third, and then just one of the most gigantic brain fart by a Texas player to get tagged out at first after reaching on an infield single killed that rally for Texas in the sixth, and OU tacked on some insurance. They win it 59-7 was the record this year after going 61-1 a year ago. Their eighth national title overall and their fourth straight, first ever women's softball team to get a four-peat, the Oklahoma Sooners, and now they and Texas will head to the SEC. Welcome to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Keeper Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Lots to cover on the show today, but first we go to Beloit. Beautiful day to play some football. Beautiful day, hopefully, tomorrow, play some football. Eight-man All-Star Games coming up tomorrow on KD Country 94 and Eight-Man All-Star Game Radio Network. And Dusty's over at practice and has some special guests this morning. Good morning, Dusty.
Yes, we are at the Division II East practice this morning here in Beloit at the college, and joined by, first, we're going to talk with the defensive players from the Northern Plains League, Nathan Goheen of Osborne and Chance Jermark from St. John's Tipton. First, Nate, you've had a chance to kind of meet all these guys this week, and I know I talked with you earlier in the week about how much you were looking forward to the experience, but what's it been like to actually gather together with these guys and learn about each other and form a team this week?
It's been awesome. The guys are fun. Coaches are great. I mean, it's been a very good week so far. Can't complain when you get a week of football and hanging out with good guys.
You guys have been pretty lucky to have pretty good weather this week, too. Usually it's like 90 degrees here every day. So what's it been like to acclimate your body back to football shape as well?
Well, the first few days are kind of definitely harder than the first couple because you wake up and you're sore. You could hardly move. But now it's fun. Just get to fly around all day and feel like I'm in shape again.
Representing Osborne one last time here at this game, too, with a long line of all-stars that have played for the Bulldogs. How cool is it to be able to kind of represent that school one last time?
That's very cool. I love it.
Hey, Goheen from Osborne. We'll let you get back to your drills here. We'll move over to Chance Dermark from St. John's Tipton here. Chance, you're unique, obviously, too, in the fact that your brother just played in this game last year. So you get to follow in his footsteps and kind of probably knew a little bit about what was coming for you anyway. But what's the week been like for you, and what are some of the biggest things that have stood out so far?
Well, first off, the first couple practices were harder, but it's been fun. The team's awesome. Players are great. The coaches are great. It's just fun to play with them.
When you look at trying to learn like a new coach's system, you'll be on the defensive side of the ball, it looks like, to start. But what are some of the things that you have to do to pick that up? Or has it been pretty easy for you? Or are there just different nuances that you just have to figure out?
There's been a couple things I needed to work on, but it's pretty simple, straightforward.
Drills, what's it been like to meet all these guys and just become friends with people you've been bashing heads with over the last 4 years?
Well, the first couple of days were like a little rough, but we've got together and it's been fun ever since.
Chance Jermark from St. John's Tip. Appreciate the time. Good luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
All right, we got them too. I'm going to run over to the offensive side of the field here, Wade. If you want to take over, I'll catch Doak Guttery and Ian Kersine here.
All right, thank you very much, Dusty. 9:16 at the time. It is a Sports Ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. As the Eight-Man All-Star Games will take place tomorrow, 39th annual Eight-Man All-Star Games. And it'll be a pregame at 9:30, Division I game at 10. Division II pregame at 1 o'clock, and Division II game will be at 1:30. That's where most of our locals will be playing. It's the second game in the afternoon tomorrow. Last I checked weather-wise, there's a slight chance for some thunderstorms, high around 80 tomorrow, which would be great for the guys that are playing in the afternoon. And the admission, very affordable to go to the games. If you want to go, and you get two games for the price of one. You don't have to leave after the first game and re-enter and pay. No. You get in for the first game. You can hang around and watch both games. And we have tons of information about the 8-Man All-Star Games. It's right there, 8-Man All-Star Game Radio Network. Right now, I have it pulled up. We have our 8-Man All-Star Game Radio Network affiliate map. We got various affiliates that continue to jump on the network, spreading the love of 8-Man football across the state of Kansas. We have 8-Man All-Star Game Records. We have the rosters for all four teams, the Division II East, Division II West, Division I East, Division I West. We have features. Today, the feature is Brody Batchman and Sylvan Lucas, but then also there's features on all of our other North Central Kansas athletes, including Ian Kersine, and also Nate Goheen, Doak Guttery, and of course you just heard from Mr. Germark there, and also Mason Baker, among others. It's right there at your fingertips, 8manallstars.com. Let's see if Dusty's got his next guest lined up.
Yes, sir. We're good to go here. Doak Guttery with us and Ian Christine. You mentioned Doak and Ian just moments ago there, but Doak Guttery from Osborne. Doak, you have an opportunity to get back under center or probably in shotgun in a spread offense maybe. I don't know exactly what y'all are doing, but Doak played you played a lot of different positions in your career just based on if people were injured or if you were injured or how it all went. So what's it been like to get back at quarterback this year and this week and kind of learn this new offense under Coach Anderson?
It's been pretty nice, you know, being quarterback. I played it for 3 years, and I pretty much know the ins and outs. It's kind of fun learning a new offense and scheme with this type of group of guys. With Ian, we just get outside. He's a fast, runs hard, and we have two good receivers from Axel and Frankfurt. We just got a really good group of guys, and the scheme we're running, I think, will go really well tomorrow.
How are you feeling this week? Like we talked about earlier this week with the injuries that you did go through and then your senior season coming back from the back injury, are you feeling like you're in football shape, ready to roll for tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm a little sore, but, you know, when you have back pains like a six-year-old, it's always there, but I'm feeling pretty good.
How does it feel to represent Osborne one last time coming up tomorrow?
It feels pretty good. You know, we have a really good tradition of all-star participants and from Osborne. It just feels good to do it one more time for Osborne.
No better from Osborne. Thanks for the time. Best of luck tomorrow, man.
Thank you.
Ian Christine with us now from Lakeside High School. Ian, we talked with you, you know, earlier this week, too, about the fact that, you know, Christine name's pretty synonymous with eight-man football, so you get to represent not only your family but also Lakeside High School one last time. What's the experience been like for you so far this week, meeting all these guys and getting a team together with them?
I mean, these are a great group of guys. I mean, I can ask for a better offense. We have some real, real stars back here, especially in the backfield and the receiving core. I mean, it's just amazing to have this type of talent around me.
Frankfurt Coach Anderson learning his system. What's it been like? Have there been nuances that you've had to pick up, or has it been pretty simple to learn, or what's the learning curve been like?
The running back's definitely the hardest part to learn, but it really hasn't been too hard. It's just more getting the formations down and the way he runs his offense.
What's been your favorite part of the week so far? Just take away the football part of it, but what's been the favorite part other than that?
Probably the late-night chats with the guys. We always go into one room. There's about 20 of us in one room, and we just talk and talk until we can't talk no more.
Ian Christine from Lakeside, thanks for the time, man. Best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Those are our Northern Plains League representatives from the Division II East squad for tomorrow's game. They'll be playing in the afternoon game at 1:30 with pregame at 1 o'clock on KD Country 94 and 8manallstars.com. So you can tell that these guys are ready to roll and things are being put in. By this point in time, you're just running drills and making sure you're in shape and good to go, because it does appear that a lot of these guys know just pretty much everything that they're doing, and now it's just about executing coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And these kids pick this stuff up very, very quickly. As you mentioned, we talk about that each and every year. And then on in regards to the offenses these teams are going to run, it seems like almost every year there's one team that's going to, you know, grind it and pound the football, be physical, and then the other team will be airing it out. And there's a contrast in styles, but it appears or sounds like all four teams tomorrow are going to run the spread. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to throw the ball every time, but it's that's what the game has become. We talked about, you know, pro and then especially college over the years, wide open offenses, and now we're seeing it certainly at the high school level, even at the eight-man level.
Yeah, and a lot of that is predicated, too. I think there's one coach that I talked to that said he didn't necessarily want to run spread this week, but that's the personnel that he had, so that's the system that he put in. So, you know, it does depend on, you know, if you've got the size to run like you were talking about with a big running power set offense and just, you know, run it down their throat or whatever you might want to do in that range. But, yeah, there was at least one coach that really didn't want to run spread, but that's what he's got as far as personnel, and it's going to work out to his benefit probably.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so what do we think here? I'll be calling the first game tomorrow morning. You'll be on the sideline. Todd Clover will be our color commentator, who will probably try to squeeze in that Oklahoma Sooners won a four-peat in softball multiple times tomorrow. Let's get that out of the way. It is National Oklahoma Day today, by the way, so what a great day to be an Oklahomian, even though Todd isn't. But anywho, Todd will be our color commentator tomorrow. Matthew Rice, intern, will be helping us up in the booth and also on the sideline. First game, I'll be doing play-by-play. You'll be on the sideline. Then the second game, you'll be doing the play-by-play, and I'll be on the sideline. So what are your thoughts here on these two games? Let's start with the one in the morning. What's your quick thought on the Division I game?
This one's going to be interesting, I think, because, like you said, a lot of years there's maybe one team that might be bigger and more physical, and that's usually the West. I'm not saying they don't have size this year, but they don't have quite the size that we've seen from the Division I West and some of the teams in the past. So I think it might be, as far as physically, it looks like it could be a pretty good matchup. I haven't, obviously with the numbers and stats and all that, focus as much on the D1 games as I'm doing D2, but they've obviously both of these teams have a lot of talent, and Coach Massey's Linden kids are on this East team, and man, they were so talented here this past season and won a state championship, and the teams in that district with Linden and Madison and Care Perryville and Chase County, I mean, they just, the list goes on and on of how good their athletes are in the East part of the state. So those guys definitely have talent, and I feel like should have a very, very good team. The West side of things, obviously, with the Wichita County kids, and they will be a physical team and still bring that, I think, intensity that you usually see from the Division I West, maybe just not as big as they have been in the past. But I know that based on what they look like and what Coach Davian runs at Hill City, that they could have a pretty open offense and could be able to do some really good things. Their quarterback yesterday was super impressive on placing the football on whether it was deep routes, short routes, out routes. He was looking pretty good yesterday. So that'll be interesting to see how he plays out, and probably out of what I've seen so far, probably the most accurate and efficient quarterback. Again, that's just in practices that we've seen so far. So it'll be interesting to see, obviously, a different style from the Division I West than maybe we're used to.
Which quarterback was that? I'm sorry?
The D1 West quarterback, and his name's, okay. Was it Morgan?
Yeah, Caden Morgan. That's right.
Yeah. From lacrosse. Yeah, he was nailing his targets pretty good yesterday in practice.
Oh, hey, that'll be fun to watch. It's the best of the best, no question about that, coming up tomorrow. And then the second game, and that's where most of our locals are. We've got a few there in the first game, but most of them are in the second game. Your thoughts on the second game, the D2 game that begins at 1:30, pregame at 1?
This one here, I mean, I think, like, it's pretty clear that when you look at the talent level in Division II, that when you're looking at the East and you see all these guys from the Twin Valley League, and especially Axtell, who has got 39 wins in a row, three state championships. I mean, the talent's off the charts with this Division II East team. Axtell brings a couple guys that have some pretty big size up front as well that could cause some problems on both sides of the ball. So it'll be interesting to see that. East beat the West last year. I mean, just talent-wise, I think the East probably has an edge here. And with everything that they've got with the skill positions as well that Ian and Doak were just talking about, receivers from Axtell and Frankfurt and all the talent that they do have there. So I would definitely give the edge to the East as far as talent's concerned. But, Mitch Engelken from Stafford, the D2 West coach, was talking earlier this week about the fact that they actually had more guys to choose from out West this year, so they feel like their team is a little bit more balanced from top to bottom than maybe it was last year, where they had to kind of just take guys to fill out their rosters. So I know the D2 West will have some really good talent. They got a kid from Mineola that is all Eli Lang. That, I mean, he threw for like 1,900, ran for like 1,700. I mean, he's... the numbers are ridiculous on what he was able to do, and he'll be spotting in a few different positions. So it'll be interesting to see what Mason Baker can do in that offense as well, playing quarterback and running back and end at Thunder Ridge's entire career. He's got to play a lot of different positions. So I think Mitch got a lot of different guys that can do a lot of different things that could probably help his team as well. So that'll be interesting to see. But there's definitely a lot of talent in that game, and in the D2 East carries a lot of it with Twin Valley League players, as we've always talked about.
Your updated features on 8manallstars.com website, Mason Baker of Thunder Ridge and Brady Batchman of Sylvan Lucas, and all the others are on there that you've done throughout the week as well. So we look forward to everything coming up tomorrow morning. Once again, pregame at 9:30, kickoff at 10 for the 8-man Division I All-Star game, pregame at 1, kickoff 1:30 approximately for the Division II game. Hear both games right here on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com. Get the free Katy Country 94 app. You can listen online. There's all kinds of ways to listen, and like I said, all the great information is available to you. There's links at ncksports.com to get there, or go to 8manallstars.com, katycountry94.com. We've got it all over the place, and certainly Dusty has done a wonderful job of covering Eight Man All-Star Games once again here this year. I know you probably don't have this in front of you, but I'll let you comment on it real quick. There's every year now we have the All-Star Volleyball match that takes place to our north on the same weekend or near the same time as the Eight Man All-Star Games.
Yeah, the Twin Valley Conference Northern Plains League All-Star Volleyball match is tonight, so that'll be taking place there. It's in Lawrence Nelson, Nebraska tonight, in Nelson, Nebraska at Lawrence Nelson High School. 6 o'clock first serve for that. Yeah, a lot of area athletes are competing there. You know, Lauren Brummett from Lakeside would be one of the key ones that we have, and then from St. John's Tipton, Jenna and Aubrey Gingler, those would be the real immediate area athletes that are competing up there. And, again, they'll go at 6 o'clock tonight with the State Line All-Star Volleyball match in Nelson.
Yep, Elsie and Emma Finkenbeiner and Emma Klein of Sylvan Lucas. Hannah Lynn, is it Lynn or Line from Lincoln?
Line.
Sometimes they throw you off with those. And then Raylan Bolte of Pike Valley and Clara Plumer of Stockton will also be competing in that. And before I let you go here, after one season as interim head coach in the last 17 seasons with the West Virginia men's basketball team, Osborne Needham, Josh Eilert has a new home. He'll head west. He's staying in the Big 12, the new Big 12. He will join the Utah men's basketball program as an assistant under Craig Smith. You can go to UtahUtes.com to read more about that. But Josh, I sent him a text last night wishing him best of luck. Congratulations. He said thanks. So a new chapter. You know, we talked about moving and making changes, and obviously myself and my family will be doing that here very soon. But Josh Eilert and his family, obviously a pretty big move in their lives. And Josh, knowing West Virginia for the last 17 seasons and now going to Utah, pretty interesting stuff.
He does a good job of picking places to live that have very nice scenery.
Yes, mountains, so. mountains, yes.
Yep, both places.
Absolutely.
No, it's awesome that he's got another opportunity. You knew it wouldn't take long for him to get another opportunity. It just was whether it was, I think it was more of, for me, whether he was going to go to like a mid-major, maybe lower to be a head coach again, or take that job at a Power 5 again as an assistant coach. Because it didn't, you know, realistically, it didn't look like he'd probably going to get another job as a Power 5 head coach right now. He might work himself back into that spot and position, but I think that's just kind of what I was waiting to see, whether he'd be a lower level head coach or head into the Power 5 again. And so it's exciting to see him. You know, he'll be able to still come back home every now and then and be an assistant just at Utah instead of West Virginia now, but staying in the Big 12 the way it's formed. And it is very, very cool to see him get that opportunity again to obviously do what he loves and be able to kind of mold those young minds again and do those things at that collegiate level. It's always great to see those guys from little north central Kansas have success like that. So.
And it will be odd when they play West Virginia at some point in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can assure you of that. And then I'll let you go after this. On the diamond tonight, K-State baseball team set to start their Super Regional Series of Virginia this evening in Charlottesville. They won the Arkansas Regional. K-State 35-24. Virginia, number 12 overall seed in the tournament, 44-15. Super Regional best of 3 series. Game 1 tonight, 6 o'clock on ESPN+. Winner of the Super Regional advances the College World Series in Omaha next week. K-State's never been to the College World Series. You know, both teams have their pitching staffs rested. They're able to cruise through their regional without losing a game. I saw Brian Smoller, who is the voice of K-State baseball and, of course, been on our show many times and does a great job, was talking about how he thinks K-State's got a great chance to win this regional. And he said, you know, Virginia's a really good team, but it's not anything that they haven't seen in the Big 12 throughout the year. Plus, K-State played, you know, Clemson, Tennessee. They played some tough non-con teams during the non-con season. So he seems pretty confident K-State can get it done. What says you, Mr. Cat?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I don't follow baseball as much as the other sports, but again, kind of been keeping track of K-State, definitely, especially during the regionals. But like I said yesterday, I mean, if they go to Arkansas and win that regional when nobody really expected them, and I believe that Arkansas is better than Virginia. I don't know, just based on the little bit that I've seen each of the teams, but as far as what the prognosticators and the numbers would show you, Arkansas was probably a better team than Virginia this year. So they ended up winning that regional there. I know this is a whole different scenario. I think people need to understand that too, because you're in a best of three against one team. And so you're taking on just Virginia. It's not the three other teams that are there along with you like at a regional. So it is difficult. I know the last time they did this, they won their first game against Oregon State in 2013 and then lost the next two. So it's, you know, you get that first win, but it's never a guarantee just because you got win number one. So it's obviously going to be a challenge. Virginia's number 12 in the country in the seeding for a reason. So they've got a very good quality team. But, yeah, I totally agree. Why not K-State? I'm probably going to pick Virginia to win it in three. I think K-State will get at least a game on them. Hopefully I'm wrong and they get two and go to Omaha next week. But this, I mean, easily could go K-State's way if they play the right way. And like you said, with what Smoller said, they're definitely battle-tested. And we knew that going into the tournament. So that'll be interesting to see. But probably slight edge to Virginia, and that's only because they're hosting this thing probably.
I'm all in, K-State and two. Don't even need the third one.
Let's go.
I'm in. I like it. I Smoller's got me fired up. I mean, they're the underdog. Virginia's got the pressure on them. And I think K-State's going to the College World Series for the first time in school history. Now watch, they'll lose two in a row and get blown out. And I was wrong. So hopefully I'm not the kiss of death for K-State baseball fans out there. But they'll definitely have a lot of fans cheering them on down in Charlottesville, no doubt about it. Dusty, fantastic job, as always, covering eight-man All-Star games. And we haven't even got to the games yet. But there's lots of preparation, lots of things to cover throughout the week. So great job, as always, to you. And we look forward to the games coming up tomorrow on the eight-man All-Star Game Radio Network.
I appreciate it. Yep, definitely looking forward to it and seeing these 80 guys one last time tomorrow morning and afternoon. We're always, it is, like you said, it's preparation, but it's always that payoff on Saturday is always really fun to actually see these kids get out there and play the game that they love one more time. So definitely looking forward to that tomorrow.
That's Dusty Dyan, Sports Director, reporting for the 8-Man All-Star Game practices in Beloit. Thank you very much, Dusty. So we move on here in 30 seconds. We'll take a look at the Royals as they get a big win yesterday.
I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands, extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of four. Call or stop by Kiefer Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
And there's a line drive, base hit into right field. Brennan's throw will arrive late, and Kyle Isbell drives in his second run, and the Royals lead for the second time today.
That RBI hit by Kyle Isbell put the Royals up 4-3 in the eighth inning. They go on to win by that score yesterday afternoon in Cleveland. So it was a short two-game series because the middle game was rained out, and the Royals split the two-game set against the first-place Guardians. In Cleveland, the Guardians now have a four-game lead over the Royals in the AL Central. Vinny Pascatino put them up 1-0, RBI double in the first, and then the Guardians went up 3-1, but it was the Royals this time rallying to win. Hunter Renfroe, Kyle Isbell drove in runs in the sixth to tie the game, and then the game-winning RBI by Isbell. Brady Singer gave up two earned runs on nine hits, just 3 2/3, got a no decision, and using five relievers, James MacArthur finished with a 1-2-3 ninth for his 12th save. And after the Royals blew a 5-0 lead in the first game of the series and couldn't hang on, it was the Guardians that had the 3-1 lead, and it was the Royals' turn to rally and end up winning the ball game. And Matt Cochero, manager of the Royals, on Kyle Isbell coming through in some key spots for his team yesterday.
Izzy played a good game. You know, he had the really nice catch in left center. He had that play right there, or the hit. You know, we got to think, too, that it's not been easy for him this last month. I mean, he's going out there competing at a high level, and he's been pretty beat up physically, mentally, all those kinds of things. So really happy for him that he was able to come through there.
So the Royals are now 37-26 with the win. Guardians dropped to 40-21, but as I mentioned, still have a four-game lead on the Royals in the AL Central. The Royals return home, start a three-game series with the first-place Seattle Mariners. They lead the AL West by five games. They're the only team in the AL West with a winning record. The Mariners are 36-28. First pitch tonight, 7-10. Daniel Lynch gets a start for the boys in blue. He's had three appearances, two spot starts, ERA 1.50, has no record. If you don't know, Michael Wacha, free agent pitcher they picked up during offseason, he has a left foot fracture, so he's on the injured list. So Daniel Lynch slides into that five-man rotation for the Royals and has been pretty solid in some spot starts so far this year. Well, so the Royals are doing well. The Chicago White Sox, not so well. After losing to the Boston Red Sox 14-2 last night, the White Sox pushed their current losing streak to 14 games in a row, which breaks a tie with their 1924 club and sets the franchise record for consecutive losses. They're out-hit in the game last night, 24-4. Overall, the White Sox have lost 18 of the last 19. They haven't won consecutive games since the mid of May. Their latest loss drops the White Sox to 15-48 on the season. Winning percentage is 2.38. about 24%, puts them on pace for 123 losses, which would set the modern record for losses in the season. Additionally, the White Sox have what's easily the worst run differential in Major League Baseball at minus 152. So what I'm trying to tell you is the White Sox are bad, very bad. Royals have been on that side of things. Now it's nice to be 11 games above 500, second place in the division. And right now, if the season ended, they'd be a wild card team. Scary situation for the Chiefs yesterday. Chiefs defensive lineman B.J. Thompson was described as unconscious but in stable condition overnight after he suffered a seizure and went into cardiac arrest at the team facility. Thompson's agent, Chris Turnage, visited Thompson Hospital and gave an update afterward. B.J. is still unconscious at this point, but he's stable. Vitals are good. His family asked for your continued prayers. And Jeremy Fowler reporting today that doctors are optimistic about B.J. Thompson's recovery. He was in a special teams meeting yesterday when he suffered a seizure. Chiefs medical staff treated him immediately. He was then transported by ambulance to a nearby hospital. Chiefs canceled their practice yesterday. They will practice and have media availability today. Thompson is a fifth-round draft pick from last year who played in one game as a rookie. So we hope that B.J. Thompson will be just fine and have a full recovery. Very scary situation there for the Chiefs yesterday and for B.J. Thompson.
This is now eight straight wins for Boston in these playoffs. They're 13-2. A great team effort at both ends. The return of Kristaps Porzingis, a huge impact.
Celtics led by as many as 29 in the first half and beat the Mavericks last night in Game 1 at NBA Finals in Boston. Mavericks fought back, clawed their way to within 8, but the Celtics pull away, win by 18, 107-89. All five starters scored in double figures for the Celtics. Jaylen Brown led the way with 22, but Kristaps Porzingis off the bench after not playing for 38 days. And we said a few weeks ago, if Porzingis plays, the Celtics probably need Porzingis to win a championship. If he plays like he did last night, this is going to be a quick series. Porzingis off the bench in just 21 minutes had 20 points, 8 of 13 from the floor. He had a few block shots on defense with 3 blocks. Luka Doncic had 30. But needed 26 shots in the loss. And Kyrie Irving, who used to play for the Celtics, he and the teams he's played for have now lost 11 straight games to the Celtics. Kyrie was held to 12 points on 6-19 shooting. He was 0 for 5 from three-point range, so not a good game for Kyrie in his return to Boston. Celtics are up 1-0 in the best-of-seven series. They will host Game 2 coming up Sunday night, so we have 2 days in between Games 1 and Games 2. I don't like how the NBA does their final schedule or their playoff schedule, but it is what it is. They'll definitely be well-rested. Load management for every player and coach. 7 o'clock tip-off on Sunday between the Celtics and the Mavs, and that'll be in Boston. French Open women's final is set after the semis took place yesterday morning. Number 1 seed Iga Swiatek eliminated 3rd-seeded American Coco Gauff in straight sets. Number 12 seed Jasmine Paoloni is on to the final with a straight set win over Mira Andreeva. The men's semis will take place this morning. Of course, Novak Djokovic, number 1 player in the world, had to withdraw there during the tournament due to a torn meniscus in his knee. So number 2 seed Jannik Sinner will face number 3 seed Carlos Alcaraz. Number 4 seed Alexander Zverev takes on number 7 seed Casper Ruud. And that's an update on the French Open that is winding down at Roland Garros. In case you are wondering about Major League Baseball and where things stand right now, the team with the best record in Major League Baseball would be the New York Yankees, 45-19, have a 4.5 game lead over the Baltimore Orioles. The Red Sox are 32-31. The Rays 31-31, and the Toronto Blue Jays are in last place, but they're right there near 500 at 30-32. Guardians have a 4-game lead over the Royals AL Central. The Twins have a winning record, and until yesterday, 4 of the 5 teams AL Central had a winning record, while the whole National League had only 4 teams with a winning record. Mariners have a 5-game lead in the AL West over the Rangers. In the NL East, the Phillies, 44-19, best record in the National League, have a 7.5-game lead over the Braves. And NL Central, the Brewers have a healthy 5.5-game lead over the Cubs. Only one team with a winning record in NL Central, that's the Brewers. And the LA Dodgers, the best team that money can buy, 39-25. They have an 8-game lead over the Padres in the NL West. And the Dodgers, the only team with a winning record in the NL West. So there's not a lot of teams with winning records in the National League. There's a ton in the American League, including as of yesterday, but now the Tigers lost, so they're back to 500. 4 of the 5 teams in the division were with winning records. AL Central, a lot of people thought the Central would be down, not very good. The Royals would have a chance to win this division, and they certainly do. I think the Guardians are better than many people expected. The Royals are better than people expected. Twins are still salty. The Tigers are solid, and the White Sox are horrible. So that's kind of a quick look at the American League Central. Sports Ticket, as always, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Once again, a reminder that the Kansas 8-Man All-Star Games taking place again this year at Trojan Field in Beloit. The games have always been in Beloit. Used to have one game, and then years ago, they went to two games. Used to have a game at night. Now they have the games in the morning and in the afternoon. You get two games for the price of one, so go ahead and you can check all that out. Today is the 8-Man All-Star Game Rally. Then there's Friday Night Lights tonight at the NCK Tech Gymnasium. And so the rally's at 4 o'clock, goes to 5. Enjoy shaved ice there at Chautauqua and enjoy the festivities. We'll have a lot of fun with the players. We have some giveaways and more. And we'll try to keep you entertained. It goes from 4 to 5. And then, of course, the activities later at the NCK Technical College gym with the players and so forth as well. And then don't forget, tomorrow our coverage begins at 9:30 in the morning with pregame. 10 o'clock is kickoff division one all-star game between East and West. That'll be between the red and blue teams. That's the jersey colors they'll be wearing. And then the Division II game will be at 1:30, pregame at 1 o'clock. That'll be between the green and the gold. And we look forward to having all the coverage for you tomorrow. You can listen, KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, free KD Country 94 app. You can listen to any of the connections we have at NCKSports.com. We've got links to 8-Man All-Star Game Radio Network, where you can learn about the teams, print out rosters, and so much more. So we are your source for 8-Man All-Star Game football. We've been doing this since 2009, and we have created a network of stations that are carrying the games, because this is an all-star game, or games. 80 of the best players in the state of Kansas and Beloit, of all places, is hosting and has all the way through. It's something that people, I think, still don't fully catch on to, how big of a deal this is, although I think people have a better idea about things since we jumped on as media partners back in 2009. We've got our affiliates, of course, here, the flagship KD Country 94. We got radio stations in McPherson carrying the game, Iola, Larned, Belleville, and Marysville. So we're spreading the love of 8-Man All-Star Game football across the state of Kansas, and you can learn more, go to 8manallstars.com. Big thank you to Dusty for all his hard work throughout the week, and we look forward to bringing you the games tomorrow. The 80 best players in the state of Kansas playing 8-man football at Trojan Field in Beloit. So get there and enjoy all of the outstanding football you're going to see. If you're a football junkie, you need to be there. You get a doubleheader, two games for the price of one. And if you want a little teaser, come out to the prep rally today from 4 to 5 at Chautauqua Park in Beloit. Have yourselves a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.